chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Who is this? That question was often asked after Jesus said or did something that set him apart from other people. On one occasion, after Jesus had driven an evil spirit out of a man, the people around who saw it were amazed, and they asked a similar question. Their question was, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." Mark identified Jesus simply and powerfully as Christ, the Son of God. Well, is that it? What does that mean? Is there more to Jesus? In the past 2 weeks, we've seen from the Bible that Jesus is also Creator, Almighty God, Ruler, Judge, Prince of Peace, Sovereign, Lord, and Supreme Submissive Servant of His Father God. Today, we'll explore a self-identification of Jesus, one that brings us into closer relationship to Him than other terms seem to. It begins with a familiar and comforting place in the Bible, Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. There King David of the Jews said this of God the Father, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 expresses David's trust and confidence in God's goodness, both in this life and in the life to come, life eternal. Verses 1 through 4 speak of God the Father as a shepherd, a distinctly good shepherd, one who is interested in each of His sheep. The term shepherd points to the relation between God and His covenant people, His covenant children. The image of shepherd to the Jews aroused emotions of care and provision and protection. A good shepherd was personally concerned with the welfare of his sheep, each one of his sheep. And it points to the idea that God is personal. David addressed God as my shepherd, as having a personal relationship as a sheep with his shepherd. The Lord is not the shepherd, though, of a large herd of unknown sheep. Instead, God, the shepherd, the good shepherd, knows and cares for each one individually. And as a result, the sheep do not do without. They lack nothing because this shepherd, this good shepherd, knows them, cares about them, provides for them. He compassionately provides for each one. In addition to provision, though, we see here the ideas of peace and guidance and protection. David could say all of these things about God as the great, the good shepherd. The shepherd's presence was to provide all of these things. If the shepherd was present but did none of these things, he really wasn't a shepherd. And so David will speak of God, the good shepherd, as doing all of these things. God promised his constant presence to his covenant children Israel before he led them out of Egypt. If he had not, they would not have gone. They needed him as their shepherd to do all of these things. King David experienced God's shepherd presence throughout his life, so David could speak as first person. This was not theory, this was reality. This was his life experience. God's faithfulness is not based, though, on the sheep's obedience. It's based on the shepherd's commitment and ability. As the good shepherd, the Lord provides abundance and honor to the sheep he loves, and he does so in the very presence of enemies who would steal the sheep from him. With oil, he anoints his sheep to heal their wounds. And so the shepherd's sheep, the father's children, are assured of God's traits of goodness and love, not just now, but from now on into eternity. Just as the Bible often uses the image of sheep to describe humans, it often uses the image of shepherd, then, to describe God the Father. Because of the roles of shepherds were familiar to literally everyone in that part of the world for ages, the word was also used to describe leaders of people. Through his prophet Ezekiel, God told his people Israel that he was disgusted with their ungodly shepherds or leaders. And as a result, he said, he would become their shepherd. But he, in contrast to their leaders, to their shepherds, would be the good shepherd. God himself would set the standard for all future shepherds, whether they were responsible for sheep or for people. God would show how it's to be done. He would demonstrate all of these traits because that's who he is. And so Jesus identified himself with the image that his Father God had presented as the ultimate shepherd, the good shepherd. And he says to us then in the New Testament book of John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Jesus is shepherd, the good shepherd. Men who came before Jesus claiming to be the Messiah were not listened to nor followed by the masses because those pretenders could not fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah. They gained a small group of rabble-rousers, we might say, or of revolutionaries, zealots, but it went nowhere. The good shepherd, though, knows his sheep by name, and he calls each of them. They know their master's voice, and they follow him. That provides a good question to you and I, doesn't it? Who do we follow? Who do we listen to? What's the voice that has our attention? If we are following someone, then that person becomes our guide. The people who followed Jesus from the time Jesus came on the scene until this day are people who've been looking for him and who listen to his voice, and they follow him. So Jesus, the good shepherd, is their guide. These are his sheep, and he loves each of them. By his wisdom and by his knowledge, he guides them to safe places of spiritual nourishment. The writer of Psalm 111 and verse 5 praises God the Father for this, saying, "He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever." God takes us where we need to go for our benefit. He blesses us in this. The writer of Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 says of God the Father, "He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." And so this is a God who not only provides for us materially in the most basic ways necessary to our survival physically, but this is the God who provides for us what goes beyond that. This is a hint of that abundance of God. This is God who provides for us so richly. And these echo the abundance that we read about in Psalm 23. But the Good Shepherd has provided far greater abundance to us in the form of his grace. God's righteousness provides the grace to save us from our sins and to make it possible for us to live with him forever along with his Son in heaven. Since Jesus is the good shepherd, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." That sentence takes in a huge amount. And not only says that Jesus is the exact representation of his Father God, but that he sustains or maintains, provides for all things. Everything you and I can think of, everything we can't think of, everything we don't even know about, sustains all things, and that he does it simply by his powerful word. You know, Scripture tells us in John chapter 1 that Christ Jesus created all that exists by his word. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we find that God literally spoke all creation into being. This is that powerful word, the word of God. And so like his Father, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is also provider. Back in John 10 and verses 7 through 10, Jesus described himself as the gate to the sheep pen. A good shepherd carefully watched each sheep as it entered into the pen, and then, instead of there being a gate across the pen, the shepherd laid down as that gate across that open entrance, and he controlled every animal and every person who entered into that pen and who left from that pen. Those who entered through the gate, who was Jesus, would be saved from death by any beast. In verse 15, Jesus said, "As the good shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep." And because of that, the sheep, and if that's you and I, have no reason to fear death, certainly not spiritual death. We have a Savior who's saving us from that. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3 echoes, "The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." In John 17 and verse 12, Jesus, the good shepherd of his apostles, told of his Father God, "While I was with them, his apostles, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." So Jesus, the good shepherd, is protector. False prophets or false shepherds, false messiahs, come only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, Jesus says. But Jesus, the true Messiah, the good shepherd, has come to give his sheep an abundant life, like that described in Psalm 23. God's sheep, his people, are guaranteed eternal life and Christ's permanent protection. His sheep are all those people, all of you and I, who listen to his voice and who follow him, whether Jews or non-Jews. In Matthew 25 and verse 32, Jesus is the shepherd at the judgment day. He's the one separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep are the ones who have truly obeyed and imitated Jesus' life and character. The goats are the ones who have failed to do that. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, shepherds of Christ's church, the elders or the presbyters or the pastors of Christ's church, are promised that the chief shepherd, Jesus, will reward their faithful service when he comes to judge all humanity. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, is also rewarder. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25 says to Christians, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Apart from Jesus, you and I are lost. And we're doomed to death by Satan. He's looking to break through, steal, kill, and destroy us on a spiritual basis. And when that process begins, it goes beyond the spiritual. It goes into our emotional lives, our social lives, our financial lives, our relational lives, and sometimes even our physical lives. "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Won't you turn or return to the great shepherd, to the good shepherd, to the one who wants to provide for you and care for you, you personally, the one who has laid down his life for you? If we can be of help to you in that process, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.